Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a lovely bhajan. It is on Lord Rama. It is on Lord Sai Rama. Very beautiful bhajan, simple bhajan, and it also has a third speed which builds up a little bit of momentum. But the words, the lyric, the tune, everything is so simple, so sublime. And again a bhajan which is not sung so often in Prashantinilam, and it used to be sung in the early years in the Prashantinilam Mandir. So let's get started learning with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga and bhava. But just to give you a glimpse of how the bhajan is, here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Atma Ram Anandadha.
Maybe some of you know this bhajan, but here is an opportunity to learn this bhajan perfectly, learn it how it used to be sung in the early years. And in the later part of this program, you will also listen to a conversation with Brother Raghunath Sharma, a former student of Bhagwan's University who is now a faculty member in the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science. He will be sharing his thoughts and insights on what this bhajan conveys to us. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Atma Ram Ananda Dham Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Sita Ram Satya Sai Ram Sundara Ram Sugunabhiram.
So now that you're familiar with the lyrics, here is how the bhajan flows. So stay tuned, listen carefully and try to follow after every line as Brother Srinivasulu and Anirudh teaches this bhajan.
We are singing this in F sharp pancham.
Atma Ram Ananda Dham. Atma Ram Ananda Dham. Atma Ram Ananda Dham. Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Sita Ram Satya Sai 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 Ram Sundara Ram Sugunabhiram Sundara Ram Sugunabhiram Sundara Ram Sugunabhiram Sundara Ram Sugunabhiram Sai Ram Sai Ram Sai Ram Ram Sai Ram Sai Ram Sai Ram Ram Sai Ram Sai Ram Sai Ram Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram.
Atma Ram, Ananda Dham.
So that's a simple bhajan dedicated to Lord Rama. A simple melody, Brother Srinivaslu gave us a demonstration of how it flows. So let us learn a little more about the composition of the bhajan. Again, a bhajan which was sung in the earlier era and is sung even now, but not so often. And that is the reason why we thought we will have it as part of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, because we can bring such simple, beautiful melodies into our bhajan consciousness and use them in our sadhana. So Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts on this bhajan. So Anirudh, which is the raga of this bhajan?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
This bhajan is a mixture of many ragas, I can say, because it's a simple tune. So the notes are taken from two or three ragas. Like, one is Bilawal, because all the notes what you hear is Shuddh notes, which are the major happy kind of notes. And secondly, the other ragas which may be associated with are like Yaman Kalyan, where you have the both the Madhyamams, Tivrama as well as the Shuddhama. And also the a raga called Behag, where just one line in this bhajan resembles that raga, which is that
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram, Pa Pa Ga Ma Ga.
This is a typical phrase used in the Behag Raga. So when you see in a large perspective, it is a, like the notes are taken from this major Shuddh kind of, Shuddh notes are taken from the ragas like Shankarabharanam and Yaman Kalyan. So I think we can say it's a mixture of these two, but the result is, it's a very simple tune. It sounds very simple.
Yes.
And also I think everybody can follow this bhajan. Not that difficult in terms of the complexity in the tune. The tune is very simple, and the lyrics are also, I think, perfectly fitting, like Ram Dham, all these lyrics.
Yes.
There is a
symphony in the lyrics.
Yes. Yes. That's, yes, also one of the beauty added in the composition.
Yes.
And the third speed is also very nice, that everybody, it's a simple word, Sai Ram, so that everybody can sing along. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram.
Okay, now since this is a bhajan which you cannot really classify into any particular raga, it's just a bhava bhajan.
Yeah, many,
all
many
bhajans are,
yes,
bhava bhajans.
Yes, yes.
But this is, you know, it is just a bhajan where no musically inclined person also will want to dwell on the technicality, because it is just a bhajan which is so steeped in that feeling of Namavali.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
in that feeling of just chanting the name of the Lord.
Yes,
the,
yes,
sweet names of the Lord.
Actually, in fact, you might go mad if you understand the bhajan. Because if you go deep into the, oh, means there are some musicians who, yeah, or people who cannot accept a small change, in the sense like any small diversion from the raga, because they might be so used to practicing the whole,
yes,
you know, time in one raga, and
yes,
if any small change is given, they might really hard to believe or accept.
It disturbs.
Yes, it disturbs. So when you understand, try to understand and go deep into the swaras and saying that, you know, here the Tivrama came, or there the Shuddhini should have come, but Komalini came, you'll really go mad.
Yes.
So the best thing is to just experience the bhava of the bhajan.
Yes.
And the way it is sung, and That's why the simple Namavalis make most of the impact, because it's just the lyrics are just the name of the Lord set to simple tune.
Yes. So let's, since we do the Swaras for every episode of this program, just to make it complete, let's do the Swaras. It'll at least help those who want to learn to play this in their instruments and at least get clarity on the tune of the bhajan.
Yes, so let's take the first line.
Atma Ram Ananda Dham Ninirirega Garimaga Sarini Ninirirega Garimaga Sarini Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Nipani Sare Nipani Sare Garigama Garisa Sita Ram Satya Sai Ram Gamagapa Papa Padama Paga Gamagapa Papa Padama Paga Neeripama Garima Garisa.
Third speed.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram Ram. Nee 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 sa 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 pa pa ga ma ga. Nee 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 sa 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 pa pa ga ma ga.
So the beat is the regular 8 beat?
Yes, the beat of the bhajan is Aditaal or Kaherva in the classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Atma Ram Ananda Dham Atma Ram Ananda Dham Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Achyuta Ram Ayodhya Ram Sita Ram Satya Sai Ram Sita Ram Satya Sai Ram
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai and Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with that, we've come to the end of the technical aspects of this bhajan. And now we move on to the significance of the words that make the bhajan. Brother Raghunath Sharma, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and someone who has stayed with Bhagwan for decades, now shares his reflections on this bhajan over a conversation. Sai Ram, Brother Raghunath Sharma, it's a joy to have you for Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram.
Rama means joy. It seems Swami once said Rama means bliss.
Correct.
And the first line of the bhajan is Atma Rama Ananda Dhama. Rama is the one who bestows, who is the seat of bliss, Ananda Dhama. And what occurs to you when you hear this bhajan?
See, when I hear this bhajan, because the name Rama is so dear to Swami. And there are several occasions when Swami told students that this name Rama is handed over to us from generations after generations, and in fact Swami said lakhs of years since this word Rama exists, and it is so powerful.
It's almost like the name existed, the form came.
Yes, to fulfill the
potency of the name.
Potency of the name. Because once it seems, a small story that I recall, Swami was talking to students and Swami said, how humble Rama is. Mm-hmm. It seems there was a discussion among great women, Kausalya Devi, then some other...
Anjani Devi.
Anjani Devi. Each one was priding about their son. How great is my son, all that. And of course, obviously, the clear winner was Lord Rama. And Kausalya Devi said, my son is a very avatar.
Whatever everyone else has achieved, they have achieved that taking the name of Lord Rama.
Said, even Hanuman crossed over to Lanka by taking the name of Rama. And later, Kausalya Devi told Rama, it seems, that this is what happened. And Rama said, Mother, it is not even my greatness. It is the power of the name Rama.
Wow.
And further, Lord Rama told Kausalya Devi that letter Ra comes from Narayana, the Mahamantra, where the letter Ra is the Prana Mantra. If you remove the letter, that mantra becomes lifeless. Similarly, in Namah Shivaya, Ma is the life letter. If you remove Ma, that mantra becomes lifeless.
Some used to say how it becomes Nashivaya.
Nashivaya, exactly. So that is the...
It is the conglomeration of the potency of the two most powerful mantras.
Yes.
Of Om Namo Narayana,
Om Namah Shivaya.
So you have the essence of these two mantras contained in Rama.
Yes.
Wow.
And verily, Rama name means bliss, as you said. And initial days when Rama was playing around all that... how much Dasharatha and Kausalya and all other Ranis took bliss in just seeing Rama playing around. Not only that, Rama also used to give joy to others. Others' joy became his concern. He was and Swami says this is describe this nice story also that Rama was sad one day as a child, and Bharata was also sad one day. And you know that upon inquiry, Bharata said, my brother Rama always loses himself so that I win. I'm upset about it. And Rama says, Bharata is lost, so I am upset about it. So these are the things which convey what a personality is Lord Rama and what potency that name Rama has.
Ma'am, I think the first line itself, Atma Rama Ananda Dhama. If you have Rama within you, within you, Atma Rama is the Rama in yourself.
Correct.
I feel Swami is so beautifully conveying here that if you have Rama in your heart, then you will become an Ananda Dhamma. You will become a Dhamma, a repository.
Center.
Center.
Center of bliss.
Of bliss.
And Atma, there are so many interpretations to the word Atma. The most powerful interpretation of Atma is that which is everywhere. So Atma Rama means this. What it qualifies, that Rama is everywhere, omnipresent and, everywhere. And that is verily Ananda. Atma Rama, Ananda Dhamma. So if you are... remembering the aspect of Rama, you are in Ananda Dhamma. At that very moment, you are
Yeah. Every time you utter the name Rama, you should you're in Ananda Dhama.
Ananda Dhama.
And it is like that, isn't it? I mean, every bhajan session, we feel like every bhajan session is on Ananda Dhama.
Exactly. That's true, right? Mm. I mean, how blissful we used to feel, especially when Swami was sitting there.
Yes.
And when that bhajan is going on, we are looking at him and nothing else mattered.
Exactly.
And Swami also gave the interpretation of what is the meaning of Vaikuntha while talking. Because this Ananda Dhama word, if you have to go deeper and inquire about it, where is the address of Vaikuntha? Rishi Narada seems to have asked Lord Narayana. And Swami very nicely, jovially, he puts it at the same time, the message is so profound. He said, Narada, write down the address of Vaikuntha. And promptly Narada takes out paper and pen and starts writing down. He said, wherever my name is sung,
Madbhakta,
Yatra Gayantri, Tatra Tishthami. And Swami explained about that word Tishthami so much. He said, Tishthami means I'll be rooted myself.
Establish myself. Install myself.
Yeah. And Swami said, not just I'll be there. Tishthami means I'll establish myself. I'll install myself.
Wow.
So that's why Ananda Dhamma means the name, you know, when it's sung.
It's like every bhajan session, his glory is sung.
Correct.
He's so much there.
So much
I think
there.
That is the reason why we feel so light.
Correct.
So
blissful.
And so soulful. Everything, you know, all stress is gone. You only feel you're blissed out.
That's true. And with this knowledge, if we sing the bhajan,
yes,
the impact is much more, right? That's the best way to invite Lord into ourselves. So such a beautiful line, Atma Rama. It is conveying, so concise, and yet how it is summarizing the aspect of Lord Rama.
Wow.
Atma Rama and Ananda Dhamma.
Then you have Achyuta Rama, Ayodhya Rama. Achyuta is one interpretation is that someone who does not change at all, who's absolute steady.
Yes.
Perhaps also means...
It also means Chutamu Lenivadu, that's what Swami used to tell in Telugu. Means blemishless.
Blemishless, absolutely blemishless.
Yes.
Niranjana.
Exactly. So when there is no... When you are absolutely blemishless and you are so pure.
So pure.
Right. Mm. So the very purity, that Achyutara means the personification of purity. And Ayodhyara. See how these words are put together so beautifully.
Yes.
Because when Lord Rama is about to depart for Vanavasa, and Lakshmana goes to seek blessings and permission from his mother, and Sumitra Devi tells Lakshmana, so Ayodhya, wherever Rama resides, that is Ayodhya.
That is Ayodhya.
Right? So just go. So readily she gives permission.
Yes.
I mean, such a nice story,
amazing.
And how beautifully Swami used to narrate that to students.
Wow. In fact, Swami also in one discourse mentions that Ayodhya is basically our heart.
Correct.
Ayodhya is heart. And Swami goes on to say how this body is Dasharatha, because the body has 10 sense organs.
Yes, yes.
The body is Dasharatha.
Yes.
Ayodhya is the heart.
Yes.
And you have all our gunas.
Correct.
The gunas are the three wives.
Yes.
Sattva, Raja, Tama.
Correct.
And you have the four sons.
Correct.
Which are the four goals of human life.
Correct.
Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha.
Correct.
And Swami says that all the other purusharthas, Artha, Kama and Moksha, they have to be guided by Dharma.
Dharma, yes.
So all the brothers were following in the footsteps of Dharma.
Correct.
Of Rama.
Yes.
And Rama is Ramo Vigrahavan Dharma.
Dharma. Yes, yes.
So once you follow that, then you know you are in Ayodhya.
Correct. So every body is actually a moving Ayodhya.
Moving Ayodhya.
Right?
Body the temple of God.
Yes, temple of God, as Mama said.
Really so beautiful. And you know, if you are thinking about all these, you know, perhaps it's not feasible when you really get started that, you know, when I'm singing a bhajan, all these sublime thoughts filling me in. But I'm feeling that sometimes even if we just take one word of the bhajan. Also,
exactly.
You know, maybe we can contemplate during the entire bhajan one word.
Yes.
Like you have another very beautiful word, Sugunabhirama.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a sublime word, isn't it?
So I mean, that means Rama is suffused with all the you know, beautiful qualities,
all the virtues,
all the virtues. I mean, another beautiful story regarding this. It seems once sage Valmiki was lost in thought, and he was sounding little melancholy, and great sage Narada approaches him and asks him, what is the problem? Then he reflects and tells the world is becoming a place of, you know, all sad things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any person to motivate and inspire this mm-hmm. humanity mm-hmm. with all these virtues, who is mm-hmm. so suffused with the truth
mm-hmm.
And yet so humble,
mm-hmm.
who is very powerful mm-hmm. at the same time, who is virtuous
mm-hmm.
and who is most beautiful
mm-hmm.
and he adheres to the path of dharma. Mm-hmm. Like this, he goes on
someone
endless
who can
list.
Be a charismatic yeah.
exactly.
ideal.
Ideal.
Mm.
And yet so egoless.
Mm.
You know, if you go into the story of Rama, you will see as if all good things are put in one place. And Narada says, what you have actually told is very nice and it's very, very, very difficult to find such a personality. But yes, right now there is one person and is Lord Rama.
Wow.
And in him you will find all these virtues. So when you say Suguna Abhirama, one should actually look at that list of Valmiki envisaging whether there is any person with this kind of qualities. So when you pray to Rama, the secret of this word Suguna Abhirama means you are again and again you are reminded of his good qualities,
yes.
and there is every chance and possibility that those things get into you.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So that's the power of this bhajan. You contemplate on this bhajan, these good qualities enter into you.
In fact, you know, that just reminds me of how so many people, I mean, so many youth, so many youngsters,
correct.
They have Bhagwan as the ideal.
Yes, yes.
You know, because for us, because you have seen that the correct. Same Rama came as yes. Sai Rama.
Yes.
And you saw that Suguna Abhi Sai Rama.
Correct.
You are able to relate to
yes.
everything that you have heard and read in the scriptures. So I think, you know, Achyuta Rama is someone who is blemishless.
Exactly.
You have seen that in Swami. Achyuta Rama, who's yeah. someone who's changeless. You have seen that with Swami.
Yeah, our Swami.
Our Swami.
And Swami also chants that poem. Arama Chandrude, Tana Bantulanu Kanugunaga Vache.
Wow.
Ananda Balude. Like that. I mean, the same Rama, because you just said same Rama and same Krishna was with us and is with us.
Mm.
Right? It's very much true. Swami himself had told that poem. That line, Sundara Ram, Suguna Abhiram. So, Sundara means beauty.
Right?
What is the true beauty? True beauty is, is accomplished through virtues.
Virtues.
Not physical beauty.
Yes.
Right? Such a beautiful name it is, which tells Rama is beautiful not only physically, but internally and externally, all the good qualities he embodies. Therefore, that's the true beauty.
Wow. And I think we don't need any other explanation of Ananda Dhamma, because every time you are in Swami's presence,
yes.
you are in Ananda. You always, the darshan sessions were like that, isn't
correct.
It?
Yes.
Those 20 minutes when Bhagwan was just going around, what kind of, we were in a different world, isn't
exactly.
it?
Even now if we visualize one
that.
Darshan, because we had that kind of opportunity, how many times we had the opportunity to spend in his sannidhi? If you just visualize once, only one thing comes to mind and that is bliss. There was no other desire or should we ask this to Swami and should Swami bless me with this? No such thoughts. I think that is the ultimate blessing that God can give you. Without any desire in the heart, you're sitting in His presence and you're blissful. So this bhajan is, it gives us that feeling.
In fact, as you mentioned that desirelessness, I think that is something we all have experienced.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I'm again reminded of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, goading Vivekananda to go and ask the mother.
What a nice story, huh?
Yeah, mother, you go, you want jobs, you want money.
Go and ask.
Yeah. Go and ask.
Swami used to tell this.
Yeah.
And Vivekananda goes and stands in front of mother. And he says, mother, bless me with
bhakti.
Bhakti.
Bhakti do ma. Gyan do ma.
No, these similar things have happened in the Swamis. You are also aware of this.
Yeah, please, no, please.
There are many, many devotees who got interview. And they come out and say, we had this list of things to ask Swami, right?
Yes,
you also heard this. And thing we remembered.
Yes.
We just, 1 hour we were there, we didn't even remember all these problems or what was Swami. We just came out. And unasked, all those things are already taken care of, right?
Yes.
I mean, so it is same. Vivekananda approaching mother, I mean, goddess, or devotees going for interview and spending. If at all there was any need, Swami himself used to remind, hey, actually you have come for this, you have not...
But the whole thing is how you used to elevate us.
Yes.
I mean, you never felt like asking generally anything mundane, you know, in Swami's presence.
Correct. See, Swami used to tell me very quickly this small story. And when Dhruva had Lord Narayana Darshan, Swami shared this nice story with us. And Narayana asked, what do you want? And Dhruva said, I don't want anything. I just want you. But Narayana said, actually, you started the penance for a different reason. You wanted to sit on the lap of your father, right? And you wanted to be given prominence, all that. So when you come to Lord and you started this, Lord will bless you with Iha and Para also. Not just the spiritual aspect. Because for Lord, there is nothing like spiritual aspect and worldly aspect. Everything is spiritual, right? As
correct.
You said, if... Artha, Kama, Moksha, when it follows Dharma, automatically it becomes spiritual, right? That is spiritual life. And so I just reminded
of that. That is so beautiful. When you seek the kingdom of God, everything else shall be added unto you.
Added unto you, yes.
In fact, Swami also mentioned that how if you climb the coconut tree, you also climb the shadow.
But if you climb the shadow, you don't get anything.
You don't get anything.
Yeah, by climbing the tree, you get the real fruit and also the virtual fruit.
Yes.
What a nice example.
Man, I think that is so true. I think anyone who has experienced the striving for that love.
Yes.
Only for that love of the Lord, only for that bliss. And then they would have found that everything else, they come automatically.
Exactly.
They don't taste. They become tasteless for you, actually.
Yes.
Because you have experienced that which taste is unmatched.
Yes, yes. And as the time passes now, you see that whatever fruits we acquired from Swami as his blessing, as message, right, with time, they become more and more ripened. Become those so sweet.
So sweet.
And endlessly they keep giving that sweetness to us and to people around us. I mean, right? Our life spent with Swami.
Yes.
Right? I think that itself is the fruit. Swami told us to climb that, that tree, which is like staying with Swami or following Swami's message wherever we are. And that has... What's the fruit that it has given that ananda? Atma Rama Ananda Ananda Dham. Ananda Dham is that fruit that we got by
in fact now
Swami.
Even so many devotees, they might have got one moment with Swami.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
But just that one moment, just ruminating on that one moment, they are leading their entire life, such inspired lives.
Yes.
Just on that one moment.
Correct.
And in fact, Swami says in one conversation that even if you've got one moment with Swami, if you ruminate on it, if you meditate on it intensely, I will recreate that moment for you.
Correct.
Swami says, see, we might have got 1,000 moments.
Correct.
But perhaps that person, that one moment he thinks with 1,000-fold intensity.
Yes, yes.
And he gets it.
Correct.
We might have received 1,000 moments, but probably we don't ruminate on them with that 100th of intensity with which he is thinking of that.
Very well said. That intensity what matters. Because Swami is that ocean. One moment, one dip into that ocean, I mean, you are entitled to his entire kingdom, right? You are saying the kingdom of God. And Swami gives this nice example where one disciple was about to receive some mantra from his guru and he asks, Guru is in need of water. He rushes to fetch the water. By then, Guru leaves his body and then writes that mantra on the sands. Right?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, yes.
And one dancer who goes town to town and then, gives performance money, she writes down that mantra in a leaf and ties it to her ears.
Correct.
And this disciple serves her for next 12 years, right? To know what mantra Guru has written in that and then. And the day comes when, because of the help of a king, she gives that mantra to this disciple. Reading it just once, he attains moksha at that very moment. I mean, you should go into that story. I mean, so beautiful. And when Swami narrates it, so the intensity what matters. By reading that mantra just once, he attains moksha. Right.
But you should see the amount of preparation, amount of pining, striving that went into that one moment.
That's why Swami always used to tell students, you should know what you are receiving, the value that, you know, the moments you are spending with Swami. Mm. Rightly, as you said now, that one moment, any devotee has spent with Swami, that has the power to redeem him.
I mean, yes.
Right? To confer that bliss and... So
and,
nice.
And, I mean, even if you have not got that one moment with the physical form of Bhagwan, but, you know, Swami is so eager to bestow those moments to you. Yes. Anyone who has that intensity.
Yes.
I mean, you can wake up one morning with full of bliss.
Yes.
You might be just going in the train and something just might happen and you might be enveloped in bliss.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think these avalanches of bliss are waiting to conquer us, overpower us.
Yeah.
It is just that we have
He is waiting.
He is waiting.
Vetukuchunnadane. Swami says in Telugu, I am in search of devotees. All that. Yeah. We just need to connect to him and there you will receive. And bhajans are the best means to get connected. Right.
Absolutely.
It's so nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we started with Atma Rama. You know, many times we think that Atma is inside us.
Uh-huh.
I remember in one discourse, Bhagwan very clearly saying, you are, Atma is not inside us, you are
inside
Atma. You are inside the Atma. So we are all the time, and Atma is that Rama.
Correct.
So we are all the time in Rama, actually.
In fact, there was one, I recall this nice incident in Kodaikanal that happened when we visited 1992. So we were lucky Swami selected us. And one day there was discussion about this mind, intellect and Atma.
Mm-hmm.
So Colonel Jogarao Garu is actually an intense sadhaka. Mm-hmm. Many people may not know. Swami himself was telling.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Anil Kumar Garu was also sharing his experiences and telling that how much Colonel Jogarao Garu was focusing on Swami's message, how he studies them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that session, you won't believe me, Colonel Jogarao Garu was asking questions after questions related to this body, mind, and, you know. That's when we realized this gentleman we used to think is, you know, he is so jovial when he's spending time with Swami or with students.
Mm.
But the actual Jogarao Garu, I mean, we saw that day, and he was going on asking questions. Swami, without a second delay, how he was responding to him. In that context, Jogarao Garu asked this question, what's the difference between mind? Because Swami was telling, mind is also everywhere. Mind is also not located in one place.
Mm.
That's why when something happens somewhere, even mother is not well somewhere, you feel some agitation inside you. And later you, through phone call or by somebody telling you, come to know that actually mother is not well. That means what? Mind is also everywhere.
Mm.
Then Jogarao Garu asked, what is the difference between mind and Atma?
Mm.
You know what Swami said? Swami said, actually there is no difference between mind and Atma also. When mind becomes... Without thought, it is Atma.
Atma.
See, Atma Rama Andadhamam.
Yeah.
When we fill our mind with this bhajan,
yes,
and mind becomes totally still with his name and form and blissful, you are in Atma.
Wow.
See, what is...
Amazing.
See, I mean, this is a very powerful insight, actually. So that was the first time I heard Swami, I mean, and also maybe mind and Atma difference.
Mm.
When mind becomes steady, right? Mm. It is Atma.
When your mind becomes full of Rama, then it is Atma.
Atma. You put it so nicely.
Wow. Amazing. I think this is the prayer that we should make to Bhagwan. You know, let every bhajan session be such sessions that, you know, if you are singing Krishna bhajan, let mind become just Krishna.
Krishna, yes.
Mind should forget itself. It should become just Krishna.
Yes.
Singing about Sai Ram, when we utter, mind should become just Sai.
Yes. And see how the power in Bharatiya Sanskriti. Because Swami said, Bharatiya Sanskriti is not a religion or, you know, it's way of life.
Yes.
And Swami, in his, one of the poems, he said, it is a upadhyayi for the rest of the world. It is a teacher for the rest of the world. It was always like that.
Yes.
Bharat was regarded as a guru for the rest of the world.
Mm.
And like just now you said, mind filled with Rama is Atma. Right? Like that. Mind filled with Krishna is Atma.
Yes.
Right? And how many such ways are there? There are crores of ways, right? Because we don't, this Sanskriti allows you to worship a chettu, a tree, a gutta, a hillock. Mm. Right? That means what? Literally we see God in everything.
Everything.
Okay. Mukkoti devatru say. More than 3 crores of gods. And everything can lead you to this blissful experience.
Everything is God?
God.
Everything can lead you to
lead
God.
To God. You are the God.
You are the God. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. It's such an enlightening session.
I should thank you. I'm so happy talking about these things.
Yeah, today. Well, Swami's grace that he has given us this opportunity. We hope we will have more sessions.
Thank you so much, really.
In the future.
Enjoyed.
And bring to Bhagwan that he blesses us with that feeling of Atma Rama all the time. And we are always in that bliss that is Rama. Thank you.
Thank you. Sairam.
So that was Mr. Raghunath Sharma, a former student of Bhagwan's University, sharing his feelings about how we can connect to Bhagwan through this bhajan. And with that, we've come to almost the end of this classroom. We will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Atma Ram Anandara.
So that's all we have for this episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments on this program, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and on behalf of all of us, I offer this endeavor at his lotus feet.